Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a speaking God. We thank you that you spoke and the world came into being. We thank you in the past that you spoke through the prophets and in the last days spoke through your Son. And we pray that you would continue to speak now through your word and by your Holy Spirit so that we might hear your voice and respond to you with joy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please have a seat. Well, it is a great joy to be here tonight, isn't it? Because Holy Trinity is not just Holy Trinity here in Launceston, but the parish includes St. Matthias Windermere and St. Andrew's Evandale. And it's a joy to see people from every part of the parish gathered here tonight as we welcome Lee as the new rector. And it's wonderful also to welcome Rachel and Elijah and Ben here tonight. Molly's going to join us in August, is that right? Having finished her high school, is that like the, yeah, something like that. Some equivalent to that in the UK. Anyway, Lee comes to us tonight as a very experienced minister of the gospel with a wealth of experience. He came to faith in Australia, was ordained in the Diocese of Grafton, which I have to say is a very splendid diocese to be ordained in, having been ordained there myself. He served in the parish of Alstonville, which is a beautiful parish with Tibuchina blossoms in the spring up in the hills behind Ballina, just beautiful. Then most recently, he has been, for the last 9 years, team rector of Kinson and West Howe in the Diocese of Salisbury, in the UK, and you've already heard in that beautiful commendation how much affection the people have for him as they send him to us. Lee wrote me a letter of application for this job, and I want to read to you just a little part of that letter. He said to me he wanted to bring his gifts in growing team ministry and authentic Christian community that is grounded in the Word, in prayer and the sacraments, for the glory of God, the building up of his kingdom, and the blessing of the specific local community in which we find ourselves. And I thought, that is just the ticket. That is the thing we need. That is the person we need to lead the saints of Holy Trinity, Launceston, and the other churches of this parish. It's a long way to come from England to take up this role, to resettle on the other side of the world to start this new work. But we're delighted to welcome you, and we look with great anticipation, Lee, to what God will do through you. So what to say tonight to a congregation starting out on a new chapter of ministry, and what advice to give a brand new incumbent? Well, if you get nothing else, if you drift off during the sermon, I just want you to remember four words tonight. Remain in the vine. Remain in the vine. Lee, lots of people in Tasmania like to grow their own tomatoes. There's actually a competition that goes on in this state called the Golden Tomato, and that's the first fruit to ripen in the season. And you can put it forward on the ABC and you can win the Golden Tomato Award. It's much later than the rest of Australia because of our weather. And this year I have five or six different types of tomatoes growing in my garden. I've been nurturing them from the day they were planted, watering and fertilising and pruning out the shoots and making sure they grow, shooing away the bugs, companion planting with basil. And I feel very virtuous because now I have an abundance of tomatoes. Every morning I go out to take the dog outside and I pick tomatoes just before my breakfast. It's harvest every day. We are a long way from being self-sufficient in the Condy household, but I'm quite proud of myself. As a city boy, I feel a bit like a farmer as I go out each morning and collect my crops. Well, the text tonight picks up a very evocative horticultural farming image for our Christian lives, living in the vine. Jesus was speaking in John chapter 15 to his disciples in the upper room at the end of his ministry, preparing them for his death and getting them ready for their mission in the world. He was about to commission them to take his message that he'd been preaching out to the rest of the world once he had ascended to the Father. So I can't think of any better place in the scriptures for us to go as we sit on this particular point in the history of this parish. We're on the verge of being sent out again on God's mission in this place. He uses this very ancient idea of the grapevine and the vine grower. That's why I had us read that passage from Isaiah tonight, so that you understood where the picture of the vine came from. It's an image for the people of God that holds so much meaning for it, doesn't it? If you think about a plant, if you think about my tomatoes for a moment, as I am, or you think about the vines that grow around this part of Tasmania with their beautiful grapes, then you'll realise that the picture of a vine is both an image of dependency. The vine needs God, the vine grower, to be sustained, but it's also an image of productivity. A vine is a utilitarian plant. It grows so that it might bear fruit. It's not there for decoration, but for productivity. Now here in John 15, Jesus takes this image of the vine, this image of dependence and productivity, to speak about his disciples. He says he is the true vine, that is, he is the true Israel, the faithful Israelite, and the disciples are living in him, living in the vine. Now, this particular metaphor for the Christian life implies that our lives as believers, our lives in Christ, our life on the vine, are just like a vine. They are both dependent and productive. That's it, people of Holy Trinity. Be dependent on God and productive in God. How does that happen? Well, he tells us, doesn't he? First of all, he tells us it's about pruning. Have a look with me at verses 2 and 3. The text is in your service booklet, and if I read along, it'll be exactly the same words for you. Look at verses 2 and 3. He says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes to make it even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Double pruning takes place in the vineyard. Dead wood is removed, that is, branches that don't bear fruit are cut off, and fruit-bearing branches are pruned even further to stimulate growth. You know those gardening shows you watch on TV? They're always telling you that once the tree is flowered, you cut it all back, so that next season there's even greater productivity. And verse 5 tells us that Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. So what does Jesus mean by this metaphor? Well, I think Jesus expects his disciples, that's you and me, to be fruitful in our Christian lives, fruitful in our witness, our telling of the world about who Jesus is, our working for justice, our showing the character of God. Sometimes in our lives, there's going to be pruning for fruitfulness. The Word of God is his primary tool for pruning us. That's what he means in verse 3. As we read and study the Bible every day, as Lee and others preach it to you, as we apply it in our Bible studies, God will speak a pruning word to us, a word that will convict us or shape us. Sometimes you'll hear a word, the word of God, on the lips of a friend in season that challenges us about the way we spend our money or the growth of godly character in us. Perhaps it will be suffering and hardship that will prune you, that comes our way, that chastens us and builds our faith and character. Remember, Paul said to the Romans that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Remember that the harder the pruning, the greater the fruitfulness. Now, you know these things, don't you? You know that moment when you open the scriptures and you read it, and it sears into you, and it says to you, you need to amend your life. That's God's pruning work in you. When people speak to you the truth of God, and you know in your heart, you're convicted that there's truth here, that is God's pruning work in us. So if we want to be dependent, and we want to be fruitful in ministry particularly, then let's invite the pruning work of God in us to shape us and teach us and grow us in all kinds of faithfulness. Lee, we're going to commission you tonight to be a preacher of the word. And as you stand in this pulpit and open the scriptures, you're going to be God's instrument of pruning his people so that they might be more fruitful in the mission that God has called us to in this place. But there's a second thing here, and that is abiding in the vine. And that's in verses 4 and 5. Have a look with me. He says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you, just as no branch can bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." This is a simple idea, isn't it? If you cut a branch off from the vine, then it dies. It needs to stay connected to the vine to get the nutrients, the moisture from the ground, the connection. And without that, the branch is useless to anyone. But of course, Jesus is talking about our Christian lives. We abide in Christ. We remain in Christ. And amazingly, he says, as we do that, he remains in us. He abides in us. And if we want to keep on being fruitful, then we have to stay connected to the vine. We have to stay connected to Jesus, the source of our life. Otherwise, we'll become unproductive and unfruitful, and our lives will become withered and droopy and fruitless. It's so simple an idea, isn't it? But yet so strange that we try to do just that all the time. We expect that we can have a productive witness in the world and just do it with the slenderest connection to the vine. We think we can exist on one drink a week, one Bible reading, one sermon, one type of time of prayer, and the rest of the week go about our lives, cut off from our source of life. Jesus is saying, if you really want a fruitful life, you need to cultivate companionship with Jesus. You need to be remaining in him. And the result of our abiding in him, of staying close to Jesus, will be productivity and dependence. Lee, there will be many demands on you in this role. There are already probably 150, maybe 200 expectations in this room tonight about what you will do. Many hopes, all kinds of things. And I'm sure you have come with many hopes as well. But the most important thing you can do to lead these congregations, these saints of God, is to abide in Christ, to remain in him, to stay connected to Jesus, to be disciplined about your own Bible reading, your own prayers, to keep your spiritual Sabbath, to attend to the spiritual disciplines, not to neglect your spiritual direction, to lean on Christ and find life in him. For without abiding in him, you'll just be like a branch that's broken off and becomes useless garden waste. But of course, this is not just a word for Lee, is it? It's a word for each one of us. Before you put the expectations on him, before you get busy in the work, before you take up the load of work to be done, we too need to lean on Christ, abide in him and be nourished by him. And there's this lovely promise then in verse 7, isn't there? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. This, of course, isn't a carte blanche prayer of him giving us our selfish desires, but it is a promise of his faithful blessing in our prayers, in answering our prayers, as his word abides in us. But there's one last observation I'd like to make that comes from this sermon of Jesus to his followers on that at the end of his life, and that is that we do all of it in love. Have a look at verse 9. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love." You see, our abiding in Christ is not some burdensome difficulty, but it is staying close and connected to the one who loves us. Before we get too carried off with the idea of thinking about love, look at the nature of this love in verse 9. It is as the Father has loved Jesus, so he has loved us. That's amazing language, isn't it? The Father, the Son, the Father and the Son are in a communion of love. The love that God the Father has for God the Son is incredible intimacy. And in John 17, it says that he's loved him since the foundation of the world. When Jesus came to this world and began his public ministry, the Father said to him, "You are my Son, the Beloved. I'm with you. I am well pleased with you." And now Jesus is saying, the way the Father has loved me, he loves his disciples. And we are to show that kind of love to each other. We expect this love is not just love for us to bask in, but love which is itself fruitful and productive. Have a look at verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Let's get this. The Father loves the Son from all eternity with all perfection. And in the same way, the Son loves those who are his disciples from all eternity with all perfection. And in the same way, we're to love each other. It's quite a task, but imagine what would happen from Holy Trinity, in Holy Trinity, if we loved each other like that. Imagine what would happen in Launceston if we loved each other like that. Imagine what would happen in Tasmania if all the Anglicans loved each other like that. We'd transform the place and our society would be different. We have a vision here for the Anglican Church in Tasmania. It's to be a church for Tasmania, making disciples of Jesus. We want to be for this state. We want to be for every part of this state, for education and government, for the media, for the arts, for families. We want to be for it. But the thing we can do for it is to make disciples of the Lord Jesus, because that's love. That's the productive love that Jesus is talking about here. So here are some short words of advice for an expectant congregation. Here we are expecting great things tonight from Lee Sherville as he's commissioned as rector. Words of advice for a hopeful incumbent. Tonight, Lee, tonight, brothers and sisters, recognise that you are a branch of the vine of the Lord Jesus, and that his Father is the vine grower. Allow yourself to be pruned, to be shaped by the Word of God. Accept his discipline through his Word and the growth offered through suffering. Stay connected to the vine. Abide in Jesus as he abides in us. Cultivate companionship with him and do it in love. Accept the Father-like love from the Son so that you might love others. I'm going to finish with the last two verses there. "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is my command to you, love one another." The Lord be with you.
And also with you.